Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Time for our visit with Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. Dr. Most, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Dean. How are you guys doing this morning?
I'm doing very well. You know, every week on our text line, while we're talking about this very serious issue, usually two or three people will text in that I shouldn't call you Kev, that I shouldn't say Kev, that I should show you the proper respect and call you Dr. Most.
Dean, we have known each other long enough that you could probably even call me other names besides that.
Well, that's for off the air, but I just thought it was funny. No, I responded. Yeah. That's exactly how I respond. It's like Kevin and I have been friends for a long time, and I promise you he doesn't mind me calling him Kev.
Not at all.
During this whole thing. All right, but we do have serious things to talk about this morning, and that is the people are saying it's an uptick in COVID-19 numbers. To me, it's more than an uptick. When we are looking at a 7-day average here in the state of Illinois that has increased by 5 times in the past month. Here in Illinois, the COVID-19 positivity rate has increased by 5 times in the past month. And a recent study showed that 3 states accounted for 40% of all the cases of COVID-19 nationwide: Florida, Texas, and Missouri. Right next to us in Missouri, which is beginning to bleed over into the state of Illinois. How dire is all that is going on right now? Just when we all thought it was in the clear.
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate. I think we missed out on an opportunity, actually, because when you do look at what's going on, although you do say an uptick to me is not going to get people's attention. But when you say in July, we were averaging 300 positives a day, and last week we're at 1,200.
Wow.
And that's in a state that has a vaccination rate that's about 64%. Extremely concerning. And I'm kind of surprised people are taking it a little bit more seriously.
That people are people who have previously been on the fence about getting vaccinated or just downright said you don't need to be vaccinated are now saying that you do. Although in our newscast at 9 o'clock, Shawnee played a clip that was rather disturbing to me. Ryan, go ahead and play that again, please.
Some recovering COVID-19 patients, like Brian Parisi, say they're undecided when it comes to getting the vaccine.
I honestly don't know that I would have personally, but I think it's an individual decision. There's a lot of factors that are going into it. There are politics involved, and there are multiple sides of the equation. And I don't know that there's a right answer, honestly.
What's your reaction to that, Kevin?
I think if we're all smart and we follow the science, it's a very clear understanding and a clear decision. You look at hospitalization rates right now, 99% of those who are in the hospital are unvaccinated individuals. 100% of the deaths in Maryland over the last month were unvaccinated individuals. So even the individual who had COVID and says, I have my own natural immunity, therefore I'm not going to get a vaccine, you all have to remember that the spectrum and the scope of this illness goes all the way from asymptomatic people to those who are in the hospital and intubated and on a ventilator for 30, 40, 50 days and end up with lung transplants. So you have this opportunity to protect yourself and protect others. And I would say, is it a personal choice? It still is personal choice, but from a public health point of view, we're missing the boat here right now. And unfortunately, this Delta variant is going to be very ugly over the next couple months.
Is it strictly the Delta variant that we're going to be dealing with? Because, a year ago, we were strictly dealing with the virus itself that gave us the Delta variant. Are we going to see, because the vaccination rates are still pretty low in many parts of the country, are we going to see spawn of the Delta variant and others begin to pop up and that we just can't get our hands around.
Absolutely. You know, the Delta variant right now, probably accounting for about 80% of the cases. It's the most transmissible variant we've ever seen. You know, you can carry about 1,000 times the viral load when compared to the original strain. And you're contagious, you know, at least twice as long. So tee that up with what's going on. And you probably saw in the news, if you look at the Olympics here, John Rahm and Bryson DeChambeau, two golfers that were going to go play in the Olympics, both tested positive recently. And Rahm had been vaccinated. So they were tested as part of a protocol. But it's just showing us that these asymptomatic individuals, even who are vaccinated, can still carry the illness without knowing it and spread it to those who are unvaccinated. So the unvaccinated not wearing masks, you guys are rolling some big dice right now.
And as we talked about, I filled in on Steve Bertrand's show the other day. And Kevin joined me, Dr. Most joined us for us chatting about it. You know, and people asking if you're vaccinated, how are you getting it? But it's the effectiveness rate of these vaccinations, which are in the upper 90s, but that still leaves a window for possibly being infected, right?
Absolutely. We have to remember that the effectiveness rate is based on hospitalizations and deaths. We all go back months now when the vaccines first came out. We're waiting to see how effective they were. They weren't vaccinating people and then testing them. They were vaccinating people and then seeing if they ended up in the hospital. So the hospitalization rate is what we're looking at that 94 to 95%. You can still get a mild illness or a mild case of this even after being vaccinated. And with the Delta variant, you can spread that so much easier. We were okay before saying, the chance of spreading it after being vaccinated and having a mild illness is pretty low. Now it's on the other extreme. It's way up there.
What should parents be concerned with regarding children? I mean, for a lot of places, school is going to be opening again soon, and many of the schools are doing in-person learning this time. Should there be some concern for the kids with that?
Well, I think there's concerns for the kids, and there's also concerns that kids are the vector that can bring it back to the home and bring it back to the vulnerable population. I think you're going to see, as we get closer to school, you know, a lot of emotion as far as whether kids should be wearing masks at school, you know, whether it's everyone under the age of 12 should wear a mask or everyone should wear a mask. And it's one of those where I think you're going to have this window of opportunity to shut this down. And might it be inconvenient? Certainly. And having students say, boy, it's my right to not wear a mask. It's also your right to protect your parents and grandparents and vulnerable populations. And since we know this is around so much right now, we really need to be careful for this first semester of the school year.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw any of the news coverage. I forget which suburban school district was having hearings about masking of the kids. And they had a lot of kids getting up and speaking before the school boards there with prepared words that clearly their parents had written for them. And they were just, you know, stumbling through reading. And it just seemed very irresponsible to me. From a medical standpoint, it seemed irresponsible to use your kids like that as a prop to try to, you know, get some sympathy because it's a little kid who's reading a very prepared statement about a political point of view that the parents wanted to deliver.
Yeah, you know, if those kids, you know, they're younger age and they're reading, like you said, a prepared statement, I would hate for them 2 months from now, 3 months from now, trying to go to the hospital to visit a grandparent who got sick or someone who's immunocompromised who got sick. Often a lot of those who are saying no masks, unfortunately, their parents potentially had not been vaccinated as well. So, I mean, some of these decisions and comments need to be pushed to the side and leave emotion alone, and let's bring science back in. And what we're seeing right now, we will see a peak again this fall, and that is very unfortunate because I think it was totally preventable.
I want to talk about Lollapalooza that will be kicking off this coming Thursday. I want to get to phone calls for Dr. Kevin Most. All of that is coming up next. Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN with Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. And Linda is on the phone line at 312-981-7200. Turns out we changed that phone number several years ago. It still popped up
Good morning.
Hi, Linda. Good morning.
I always enjoy the show, Dean.
Thank you.
Dr. Bones, I'm just wondering, one of the places with an uptick in cases is Texas. I'm wondering if the administration's open border policy has anything to do with this. What's your idea?
You know, I think the impact of the open border probably is a minor, very minor impact, looking at the age of the individuals and the breadth of how many people actually live in Texas and the size of Texas. I mean, if you look at Texas and Florida and you look at Missouri, it really comes down to that spread being the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated, where these, you know, we have 30 states that haven't even hit a 50% vaccination rate. So I really think it's in these very populated urban, suburban areas where we're seeing the biggest spread in Texas.
I appreciate your call, Linda. Thank you. Katie, you're on WGN.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
Sure.
I just had an idea. So when someone doesn't or refuses to get the vaccine, which is free to them, and then they do come down with COVID and end up in the hospital or weeks on a ventilator, is their insurance going to pay for that, or is the government going to pick that up, or could that possibly be a way to entice people to get the vaccine so that they don't have to pay out of pocket?
Yeah, that's a valid point with this, that, you know, people who aren't getting vaccinated, who now are 99% of the people who are testing positive for COVID are not vaccinated people. If their insurance are not covering their hospital treatment for that, their medical treatment for that, are we paying for that? Or I presume that we probably are.
Right. I'm assuming we haven't transitioned away from that
Kevin,
when we had no other choice, right?
Yeah. What's the story, Kevin?
Yeah, correct. I mean, we will still, hospitals are still going to treat the patient irregardless of their ability to pay. So you come in with COVID and you have no insurance, you come in with COVID and you have the best insurance, you're going to get the same quality of care delivered to you. So people have to understand we don't parse that out. As far as where's the end dollar going to end up, you know, you've seen a lot of companies right now incentivizing their employees to get vaccinated. Many of these companies are what we call self-insured. In other words, they're responsible for the bills of their patient. So they're encouraging their individuals. And you'll probably see more companies going to mandatory vaccination as we come in. They're trying to protect their employee workforce, and they're trying to protect their costs, their health care costs, which go up dramatically. But certainly right now, we couldn't get to a point where we say, hey, if you have COVID, I'm sorry, you're going to be the one receiving the bill exclusively. We're going to, you know, obviously work with insurers, work with the government to make sure everybody gets care. But we should probably try to have a positive incentive instead of let's, you know, potentially bankrupt somebody because of a bad decision that they made at a time in their life.
Right. Thanks for the call, Katie. Louisa, you're on WGN.
Hi, Dr. Mullis. Can you talk a little bit to the gamma variant? I know that is really been the one that people have been most sick with rather than the delta. I mean, as far as
the they're both of concern, Kevin. Explain what the gamma variant is.
Yeah, so I mean, it almost sounds like a college frat party now as we're getting all these different variants.
Right.
And we will continue to see more. So certainly the Delta variant, much more contagious, but we're seeing people with, I would say, more minor illnesses. But now as you get into the Gamma and the Lambda, you're going to start to see more severe illnesses. Now, many of these are in, I don't want to say third world countries, but countries that don't have anywhere near the vaccination rates that we do, Peru, it's parts of Brazil. So we really are going to start to be concerned as those start to get more and more prevalent and we continue to have the travel that we have, it's going to be very concerning. And we've been fortunate to get variants that the vaccine is still protecting of. We are going to end up with with one that is not going to be protected by the vaccine, and then we are going to be very, very much in trouble.
One of my daughter's employees, his wife is tested positive for the gamma. And the doctors at Rush, where she works, said that the gamma is what we should be worried about right now.
Yeah. I mean, you know, gamma variants, certainly we're seeing a lot of them in Illinois. I mean, and believe me, this is, again, just shows you how small the world is. But Delta is certainly surging just because of how transmissible it is. Gamma, much more serious as far as the end game of the illness, but Delta is going to be the one that's going to continue to spread.
Thank you, Louisa, for your call. A text from the 312. My 18-year-old daughter was vaccinated with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. She's starting college in St. Louis in August. Should she be getting an additional COVID vaccine booster?
A million-dollar question. You know, J&J really has just had, I don't want to say bad luck, but really has had some issues. Obviously, they were very popular because it was a single shot. They have now completed the study that shows a second shot doesn't have to be the J&J, can be either Moderna or Pfizer, actually increases that protective rate from the 65 Johnson & Johnson percent back up into the 90s like the others. I personally would say to her to get a follow-up, especially knowing that she's going into a state where the positivity rate is as high as it is. You still are protected, but your protection is not as high as it would be. And with the Delta variant being down there, good chance that you're going to get it. More of a mild illness, but let's try to protect you from getting any illness.
Right, right. Talk to your local physician about following up on that. Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. Kev, have a great Sunday. Thank you as always.
You take care, Dean. We'll talk soon.